Well, good morning. So we're continuing through Jonah today. And, last week we started this, and I had a few comments about last week. You know, Jonah's just a great book, and it has so much for us to learn. And we're going to do it again old school today because my PowerPoint would not load up again this morning. It worked all week long, but then it didn't this morning. So I don't know what's going on, but the devil's at work, I think, okay? So today we're going to do old school again. It's on page, I think, 925 in one of the Pew Bibles, because there's a couple different versions out there. So if you want to look up Jonah, we're going to be spending time in the text today, and we're going to be going through it, through the verses again, finishing out chapter 1. But today we have to start by remembering what we went through last week. If you remember, Jonah is a prophet to northern Israel is really where he started. And he's called to do a job that he doesn't want to do. God called him to go and preach to this city, Nineveh, and to preach to the Ninevites that were there. But Jonah didn't want to preach to the Ninevites. And it was because he knew how wicked they were, that this truly was a wicked, barbarian type of people. People that would chop the heads off of their enemy and parade them through the streets, if you remember from last week. He was supposed to go to them and preach a message of repentance, that they would turn from their ways. And he knew that if he did this, he thought to himself that disaster would come his way if he did this. Probably he would lose his head. And so he didn't like the people, he didn't like the job he was given, and so what did he do? He turned and ran from God exactly the opposite direction. And he went as far as he could the opposite direction. He was heading off to Tarshish, and he said that was exactly the opposite direction of where God was, he thought, and he turned and went as far as he could away. And he did this by hopping on a boat, hoping that as he hopped on the boat that was headed to Tarshish, the opposite direction, that then he would be okay, that he could avoid following this call that God had given him. But as we ended last week, we ended with this idea that God sent a storm upon Jonah, and that's where we left off. The key messages last week was that sin is when we run from God, when we go the opposite direction. That's really what sin is. But we also learned that grace is when God is running after us. That not all the times does grace look like grace or what we would expect it to look like. But God is constantly running after us, even when we don't deserve it. Praise God is right. So here we have Jonah, and really what he's getting ready to do today is have a day of reckoning. I mean, I think most of us understand that term of day of reckoning, don't we? I mean, have you ever had a day of reckoning in your life? A point where you're going to pay the price? I remember when I was a kid, my brother and I, we were actually playing catch in our living room. Not something you're supposed to do, right? And I threw a great pass to him, and he missed it. And it hit the cabinet there that had Hummels in it. Two of them broke and fell on the ground, and you know, what do you do as a little kid? You pick it up and you piece it back together and you set it on the shelf where it was, right? And I remember every time my mom would walk in the room and walk over that direction, I was like, oh, please don't see it, right? The day of reckoning was coming though. And one day, sure enough, she walked up to the little thing and saw it there, and who did this? Well, I blamed it on my brother, but she knew it was me. We all have had times of reckoning, haven't we? And Jonah is up to this time of reckoning where he actually has to pay the price for what he's doing. Alarm sounds go off for all of us when we sort of encounter this day of reckoning. And the text for today opens up with Jonah in the middle of this day of reckoning. He will pay the price for what he's doing, his disobedience to God. And the storm is raging. And so where we start today is Jonah chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. And I'll read this to you. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own god. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. I mean, these sailors, they are experiencing something that they have experienced before, but this is at a much greater level. This was not their first storm, believe me. I mean, sailors knew what storms were like, but this one was different. This was a huge storm. This was an intense storm. So much so, what do we read that they're doing? They're throwing cargo into the sea. I mean, this is their livelihood. This is everything they're counting on to live off of, is their cargo that they have. And it is so bad, the sea is so strong, that they start throwing their livelihood over the ship, out into the water, hoping that that would save them, just hoping that they'd survive. See, God is coming after Jonah. But Jonah, he's here oblivious to what's going on. He's blocking it all out. Martin Luther actually said this, "There he lies and snores in his sin," because he's asleep. He's down at the bottom of the boat, lying there sleeping while chaos is happening all around him. The sailors, they don't understand what's going on, and they're scared to death, and Jonah is there sleeping in his sins, as Martin Luther says. He doesn't even see the problems that are around him. I mean, how many times do we not see what's happening around us? I mean, many times we don't see what's happening. But that's Jonah. He's so stuck and so caught up in his rebellion and what he's doing, running from God, that he's not even aware of fully what's happening at this moment. The captain has to go and wake up Jonah in the middle of all of this. And there's a couple things I think we should notice about this. A couple of things that we should hear, because the sailors actually say this in verse 6. "Get up and call on your God." Get up and call on your God. Now, it's interesting, as you look at these two words, "get up" and "call," they're the exact same two words that are used at the beginning of Jonah in chapter 2, where he says, "Go and preach." It's the exact same words. And so here, we see that God is almost using this as the sailors are saying, "Go and get up and call on your own God," where he used it before when he told Jonah to go and get up and go preach to the Ninevites. This brings us to an understanding that God, he brings us life, yes, and he wants to bring us life abundantly. I mean, that's what Jesus says. He wants us to truly know that he is there for us and he will bring life abundantly to us. God wants us to enjoy peace and joy and happiness and all of these things, but yet we're constantly under attack by the temptations and the allures of the devil, aren't we? Those are the things that are always calling us and encouraging us to rebel against God. And life, he says, would be great if you do this or you do that. And so we tend to cross over just like Jonah did. We have rebelled against God and his word, and we just like Jonah, well, we wait. We don't like to look in ourselves and see that we're doing something wrong, and sometimes we can be oblivious to what's going on. But see, the promises that the devil tells us aren't true. The promises that sin tells us aren't true. The joy and the fulfillment that it says that sin will bring, it's not true. And that's the same voice that encourages us to sin. See, the devil never wants us to hear God's voice. And the devil never wants us to truly call out to our God. And so here Jonah sitting in his own sin, oblivious to everything that's happening around us. That's why Jonah can't see a clear way to repent and call on God, because the devil's got a hold of him. He's covered in shame, aware of his sin probably, but thinking that God could never want anything to do with him. Why? Because he turned away from him and he ran away. And if you hear anything in this message today, if you leave anything with anything in your mind from this service today, I want you to leave with this. Please hear this. That's a lie. God never said that. No matter where you are, no matter how far from God you think you are, no matter how deep you think you are in your sin, God loves you and wants you back. And every time that we call out to God, every time that we call to him and we repent, every time that we call to him and say, God, forgive me, guess what his answer is? It is, yes, you are forgiven. Even though, here, Jonah is feeling like that's not possible. Jonah has a real problem when it comes to these words. He refuses to do the two things here that he needs to do. He shows rebellion twice in 6 verses. Jonah wouldn't do what God asked him to do, so he's feeling guilty. And guilt is preventing him from calling on God. And notice second here, the sailors figure out who's actually responsible for the storm. Verse 7 says this, that then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. See, there the lot actually fell on Jonah, indicating to them that Jonah is the one who is causing the storm. And the sad thing is, there's 2 ways for us to communicate with God. With the divinity that's there, there's 2 ways. One is superstition, the other is revelation. Superstition is moralistic. It sort of works in a tit-for-tat type of way. If you think about it, it's always unsure. You know, we do one thing hoping for another. We're trying to do certain things so that we can get something else to work out. And the problem is that we're always trying to do something all the time, and you never know if you've ever done enough. Hoping that we've done enough to please God, and then hopefully he will bless us. But see, that's not how God works. God works through revelation. Revelation shows that grace and truth, and because God initiates it, it's always enough. Because it's what Jesus has done for us that has always enough. It's not about what we do. It's only about what God has done for us. It's interdependent truly on only what God has done. It's dependent on God's grace and nothing else. And the work of Jesus and what he's already done for us. But see, here's where it gets a little tricky. This is why I plead with you to stay in God's word. And to find the answers you need that are revealed in God's word. Because I ask, where is your faith superstitious? Here's a few questions for you. When something bad happens, do you try to twist God's arm by your behavior into getting something good to happen? Do you actually try to read your Bible more when it's bad happening in your life, hoping that then good things will happen? That's superstitious. When something good happens, do you assume it's because you've earned it from God by being better than other people? Or are you convinced that God hates you because of something in your past and that you're continually being punished for it? See, that's not the way God operates. We live in a broken world where there are consequences for our sins in this world, but our God reveals himself as a God who heals, a God who blesses, and a God who loves, a God of grace, who pursues even those who are rebellious and are far from him. But as we get back to Jonah, God allows the lot to fall on the right person. They start asking Jonah a bunch of questions. And in verse 8, the questions start. They ask him, tell us who is responsible for making this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? For what people are you? He answered, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. See, the sailors asked a lot of questions, but here's what I want you to notice here, is that the first one is the important question. Tell us who was responsible for making all this trouble. Notice what Jonah does. He avoids that question and his answer completely. He answers who he is, what he does, the people that he comes from. He tells them about God, but he will not own the responsibility of the problem of sin in his life. This is the problem we see here. And this whole idea is this idea of evil. They're asking him, who is responsible for this trouble? The word trouble there is really the evil that is there. Who is responsible for this evil is what he's asking. And Jonah explains who his God is. He explains that God is the one over heavens and the sea and the land, everything he's saying. But he never explains the evil. He never says, I have done wrong. But the sailors see his sin, even though Jonah still doesn't. The sailors look at him and see that he's the one that is causing the problems, and this terrifies the sailors. And so what do they do next? Well, verse 10, we read this. This terrified them, the sailors, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land. Now, this is crazy if you really think about this. Because the thing that Jonah says is, throw me in the sea and kill me. That's what he's saying. I mean, put yourself in the sailor's place for just a moment. The worst storm that you've ever seen is happening right in front of you. You're convinced that it is a direct relationship to Jonah, who's on the ship with you. And the relationship is that this person must have a strong relationship with God in order for God to be doing this storm. And you're told that the problem is there, yes, and the only way to solve it is to what? Throw the guy into water and kill him. I mean, does that make sense to you? I don't think it's what I would want to do. I mean, I get it, but that sounds sort of crazy, doesn't it? I mean, during storms, you also never row back to shore. Because if you row back to shore during a heavy storm, what's going to happen to the boat? It's going to get rocked against the rocks that are there. It's going to get pummeled by the rocks. In fact, the opposite thing that you do in a tough situation in a storm is you move the ships further out into sea and try to ride it out there. You never come close to shore because that's sure destruction for your boat. But yet, what are the sailors saying they're going to do? At the end in verse 13, it says, instead, the men don't throw them in. What do? They row back towards shore. I mean, these experienced sailors know that's not the right thing to do. They're doing something that's crazy. I mean, but they're desperate guys. In the midst of the storm, they're desperate. And sometimes during the storms of our lives, too, we can do crazy things also. I mean, does that ever happen to you? You get yourself caught in your rebellion. You take on a behavior or an addiction, or the devil is pounding on you in some way, and you just think that there's no way God's going to forgive you. So you think, you know what? I can't call on God, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do something crazy. And you do exactly the wrong thing. See, learn a lesson from Jonah this morning. When you get far from God and you get stuck in your rebellion, in your sin, don't do crazy stuff. Turn to God. Because his answer is always grace. Turn to God because his answer is always mercy. And we see in Jonah 13 that he continues and he says this, but they could not go closer to the shore, is what they say, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. Jonah, it's interesting here because Jonah refused to call out to the Lord. He refused to go to the Ninevites and call out to them. And he refused to call out to the Lord in the middle of his sin. But guess what? The sailors who did not believe in God, who did they call out to right here? The Lord. They cried out to the Lord, the one that Jonah had told them about. So what can we learn from all this? Well, the first is this, that your sin doesn't just affect you. I mean, think about Jonah here. His sin is affecting him, yes, but it is bringing life and destruction to the sailors as well. I mean, all the people that are around him are being affected by his sin. I mean, this is the way it all started, by the way, in the garden, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, their sin has affected all of us. That's what original sin is. And that because of that original sin, you and I suffer sin in this life. See, the same is for you and I. Our sin does not only affect us, but everyone in our lives as well. All the people around us. I mean, Jonah is the one who is sinning, yet his sins are affecting the sailors and the boat, and our sin can affect so many people. It can affect our families, our spouses. Our sin can affect our church family as well. I mean, if you struggle with sin, call on God and get help. Not just for yourself, but for the people all around you as well. The next thing we can learn is that a lack of love for God leads to a lack of care for others. I mean, Jonah's heart has grown cold here. He's rebelling against God and he doesn't want anything to do with the Ninevites. But yet God loves the Ninevites. He wants them back. He wants to save them. He wants them to be his people and his children. And Jonah wants nothing to do with them. And Jonah knows who God is, but he's not happy with what God has commanded him to do. He seems very unconcerned with the plight of the sailors as he sleeps at the bottom of the boat. And our faith is so much more than us just not hating other people. We are called actually to love. God's economy has no room for hate. And if there's something that you don't care about, that's a warning sign that something is wrong in your faith. Because God is about everyone. 1 John chapter 4 says this, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." I mean, when we walk with Jesus, we love. That's why our mission here is to live the love of Jesus. Because when you are with Jesus and you're walking with Jesus, you walk in love. Amen. And you care for other people. No matter who they are to us, by the way. We make sure that everyone matters to us. Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes you and I, we know we live in this post-Christian world that we're in today. Especially in America. That the dominance of Christianity is sort of passing away in front of us, and the world seems to be moving away from Christianity, especially here in our community. But in light of all this, the world is more interested in spiritual things than ever before. Amen. This is a great opportunity for us to talk the love of Jesus, to watch our lives and to be prepared, to be a model of what it means to be a Christian in this world. See, Jonah was a hypocrite. He knew God, but he was running away from God. And sometimes you and I can be the same way. We can be hypocrites also. But unbelievers all around us, they want to have answers to questions. They want to know who God truly is and why things are happening the way they are. Unbelievers today have similar questions to the ones that the sailors asked. And the question is, are you and I ready for the answers? See, Jonah was a hypocrite. He could tell them about God, but he didn't listen to God himself. And you know what? People could see right through that. So what else can we learn? Well, we can learn that we have a mission. Each and every one of us has a mission to share our faith, to share the hope that is in you and in me. And this means that God has a plan to share the love of Jesus with people all around us. And that each and every one of you is called to be a part of God's mission. You are part of God's plan, whether you realize it or not. Every one of us has been called into this mission. And we need to embrace that mission today for the sake of those who don't know Jesus. And what a privilege it is that you and I, we get to share the hope of the world with people who don't know it yet. And that is a privilege that God has called you and I to. And so today, we hear the words from Matthew chapter 12 as well, where the Gospels speak of Jonah. It says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." See, Jesus actually talked about Jonah in the Gospels. And the difference is Jonah's sacrifice calmed the sea. But Jesus, he died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb for 3 days, and he rose again. And that brought peace between us and God. See, God's Son, Jesus, forgives our sins. He calms more than just the sea. He calms everything for us. And he's the one who brings peace to all of us. See, there is a better Jonah, and he is here for all of us, and that is Jesus Christ. Here, God forgives sins, and today I encourage you that as you hear these messages, that you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, that you hear God say, "Come to me," and that no matter what the devil says, no matter what you think is in your past, know that God is pursuing you today. Know that God wants you to come back into his arms and hear the words of forgiveness that he speaks to you through his body and blood and through his word. Come up here today during this last song and pray. Pray to the God of grace. And hear his love and grace be spoken back to you. Today, if you are questioning your faith or you don't know whether you believe, or today you feel like God is really chasing after you, I encourage you to come forward to the rail during this last song and pray that God would accept you into his family. And you know what his answer will be? As I said to you earlier, if you heard nothing else, his answer will be, "Yes, you are forgiven and I love you." So today, if you've never believed in Jesus and today is the day, come forward and pray. If today is the day, grab me after service and tell me you'd like to be baptized and be received into God's family. And if today is the day where you just feel like you've been distant from God and going the opposite direction, then pray to God and have this be the day you come back and thank God for how he's chased after you. So let's pray. Oh, dear God, we are just amazed at this message that, Lord, when we can actually disobey you and run away from you in the opposite direction, that, Lord, you come after us and chase us. And so, Lord, we just say thank you, Lord, that we are that valuable to you, that there is nothing that we can do to ever make you love us less, and that there is nothing we could ever do to make you love us more. that, Lord, it's only because of Jesus and what he has done that we have forgiveness and life at all. So, Lord, we thank you that Lord, you value us so much and that you love each one of us and that you have called us into that mission you have given the church. So, Lord, let us hear your voice today. And let us soak in the promises that you've given us so that, Lord, we may respond with love towards you and those in this world. Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.